the GP Plus Careers Podcast.
Are you a GP hoping to diversify your career? Perhaps you've got a passion for women's health or have ambitions to be an expedition GP. Or maybe you've just always wondered, what would it be like to be a GP working in a prison? Well, this will hopefully be the podcast for you. My name's Sophie Lumley. I'm a First Five GP in the West Midlands and also a training programme director. I certainly fell into the above category, and I was keen to start this podcast to find out about the breadth of career options available to me, my colleagues and my trainees. I've been lucky enough to interview fellow GPs who've had some of these extra roles. They've told me what their role involves, how they got there, and the tips and advice that they have for those hoping to follow in their footsteps. I really hope you enjoy listening and feel as inspired as I have in speaking to them. I'm really pleased today to be joined by Irene Aframenza, who is a GP but also a training programme director. So over to you, Irene. Please could you tell us a little bit about what your role as a training programme director involves?
Hi, Sophie. Thank you so much for having me on. I am a First Five GP. I would probably say I've got a portfolio career and I work in the West Midlands. So being a training programme director means that I'm involved in supporting trainees.
And I suppose some trainees will know what that looks like. They'll see their TPDs at VTS and during training, but they may not understand the scope of the work that you're involved. So what sort of activities do you do in your TPD role?
Yeah, great question. So I would say that the main hat that I wear as a training programme director is mainly a pastoral support role. So what does that mean? Any trainee that's going through any difficulties, any concerns they may have, any queries, a point of contact for them. Now, sometimes you may be more of a project manager in that some of the queries they might bring to you might actually be more best dealt with by lead employer or occupational health or other branches that are involved with supporting doctors in training. Another branch of what we do, which some trainees may or may not be aware of, is the ARCP, so the annual reviews of the portfolio. So my role would involve me going into trainees' portfolios, having a look at their portfolio content, and then making a decision amongst my other TPD colleagues about what outcome we give them for the next year moving forward. And then another role that we also undertake is a support for trainers. So every postgraduate doctor will have a trainer or educational supervisor, but we would probably run, I'd say, quarterly meetings with trainers within the region just to touch base with them and see if they've got any queries or questions and see what ways we can support them to ensure that they're getting their professional development and ensuring that as an educational body overall, we're all doing the best we can for doctors in training.
And you mentioned at the beginning there that you consider yourself to have a portfolio of activities. Can you talk us through what your typical week looks like?
Yeah, so within my week, I have one day as a sort of downtime or a day that I don't do any work. And then I do four sessions of clinical work as a salaried GP. I do those 2 days back to back. I just find that easier and it works for me. And then I have one day where I do the training program director work. And then my last day of the week is doing undergraduate teaching at the local university.
Wow, so you've got a whole load of different activities there. And you mentioned at the beginning you're sort of a First Five GP. I suppose people will be really interested to hear what your career journey to get into being a TPD has involved. So talk us through a bit on that.
Yeah, so I suppose my career journey, I've always been passionate about medical education. And I suppose that's always stemmed from along my journey. There are people that I know that have taken time to help me to understand a particular concept. And I feel like education is sharing of knowledge or sharing of concepts. So I've always had the ethos of wanting to give back and help others along their educational journey to learn and to grow. So that's where it's all stemmed from. And I suppose in terms of my journey to where I am now, one thing I'd probably say to postgraduate doctors is to maybe just try and take a step back from this idea that training is 3 years and you just want to get through all the different stages of the exams and pass and CCT. That's a good objective and goal to have, and we all want you to reach there, but actually think, okay, what do I want my career to look like when I finish, and are there things that I can do whilst I'm training to help build me towards that? So how I've sort of, I would say, maybe got to where I am slightly is before I started general practice training, I was looking at what adverts or options there would be to supplement the training. Between ST1 and ST2, I did a clinical teaching role, which was approved and the deanery were aware of at the time. But I feel that that was a big springboard for me, doing undergraduate medication or undergraduate medical education whilst training, just to get me in that field and understanding more about what it actually entails. So I would say to trainees, be curious, be open, and ask about what adverts or options are out there.
You've obviously got some experience in medical education. When you were applying for the TPD role, were there any specific requirements or qualifications, things that you thought you either had to have done or were useful to have done when you were applying?
Yeah, so with any job application, they will sort of group what they require of you in terms of essential, and then they sort of use the word enhanced or additional. So one of the essential requirements was that you've passed your Royal College exams and you're a member of the Royal College of GPs. And then other things in there that you would expect with most jobs, so being able to communicate, showing commitment to the field of education, were things that were listed on there. And then I suppose one thing I would say to anybody listening is, when you're looking at your CV and you're asking yourself, do I fit those skills? You probably do fit those skills, but it's just thinking about, maybe in your day-to-day practice, are you communicating or sharing knowledge? So, for example, if you see a patient and you want to educate them about the importance of maintaining good blood pressure control, that's an educative segment or a moment where you're sharing knowledge. So in some sense, that's a transferable skill that you could put towards education. So people should maybe just look at things a bit more broadly. It doesn't always have to seem so set, like maybe my path has been.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, isn't it? Taking bits about what you do and what are the transferable aspects and thinking about how you meet the desirable criteria on job specs. Is it a paid role? Did you receive any funding? How did you sort of start up in the role from that perspective?
Yeah, so it is a paid role. There wasn't any sort of funding, as it were, to apply for the role, but it is a paid role. Once doctors qualify, most people tend to band pay in terms of what they would call a session. So sessional pay. So a session would be counted as, for example, 4 hours and 20 minutes as a rough gauge. So you then get your pay per annum based on how many sessions you work per week. So yeah, it is a paid role.
And from what you were saying at the beginning, the TPD then is two sessions, because you do a whole day of that. Is that right?
Yes. So two sessions, to do a whole day of that.
Okay. And what for you are the main benefits of being a TPD?
It's a job that allows me to be involved in medical education, which I've said already is a passion of mine. But it also means that I'm a portfolio GP, which is somebody that has more than one role that they do. And I actually think that being in education makes me a better clinician, because within the educational roles that I have, you're having to make sure that you're using evidence-based medicine or up-to-date medicine, whether it's in vocational training scheme sessions or within my undergraduate role. So when I take that information back to my clinical practice, I know that the patients that I'm treating are getting the best care in terms of evidence base. So I think the two balance each other out.
Awesome. So they're sort of symbiotic. They're both helping each other in terms of your skills.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
For you, are there any downsides or particular challenges in the role as TPD?
Yeah, great question. I think the biggest thing that I've had to adjust to, so I've been doing this role for about 6 months now, and I think the biggest thing I've had to adjust to is just being more organised. So there may be times, it doesn't happen often, where something urgent arises within my non-clinical roles that may need to be addressed on a day that's technically not the day that I'm allotting to do it. So it's just making sure that I am organised and I'm able to manage all the different hats that I wear. But as I say, I do enjoy the role, so those sorts of examples don't happen often. But just being aware that the more jobs you do, the more organised you need to be to make sure that you're managing your time effectively.
Yes, so it certainly sounds like you're juggling a lot of things. I suppose an extra question off the back of that, because you said you were sort of new to it within the last 6 months. Is there anything about the role that's really taken you by surprise, or you take a little while to adjust to with that side of things?
the difference between the pressures between clinical work and educational role. So my undergraduate work, I've probably been doing that for close to 2 years. So I think I've gotten to a space where I'm used to the ebbs and flow of when we're outside of term time, for example, the pressures are slightly different. We're still working on creating educational content, but there isn't the term time tutorials that we need to lead on. So I think at the moment, within the last 6 months, is just getting used to the ebbs and flows of every job, in that there may be periods where there's a lot of things that you need to do, particularly when it's time for example, ARTP, which comes up a lot in the summer, versus the term time where things may not be as intense. But I think with a lot of things, it's just getting used to it and giving yourself time to adjust.
Okay. And for those sort of sitting there listening and thinking, I'm really interested in education, maybe this is something I should look into. Do you have any advice for those hoping to start out on that sort of course?
Yes. So I would say take a step back and think about what you can do in your role where you're at the moment. So as I mentioned before about transferable skills, could you within your clinical role maybe lead on a tutorial or give a teaching session where you would gain feedback so that you're collating evidence of your commitment to education? And I would also say I would really, really encourage doctors in training to try and network. So networking is such a wonderful thing because it gives you access to things that you may not be aware of on your own. So colleagues may be aware of adverts or opportunities that are coming up that you might not have had the chance to be alerted to. So it just gives you the opportunity to maybe enter doors that you may not have been aware of.
Awesome. And I suppose linked to that point around networking, have you got any tips around or places to signpost people to hear about TPD roles or something similar to so they can get started with that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of resources, so there's a few things that I would suggest. So as a doctor in training, there are a lot of organisations around general practice, and people often think as the Royal College is just the assessments team, but there's so much more that they do. So the Royal College have local faculties. So whatever training region you're in, they have faculties, and they tend to have regular meetings. And most of the time, the purpose behind those meetings is to push agendas for change that influence the role that you're in. So even if you just attend as an observer, it's a great way to meet different GPs at different stages of their career and network. So if you like what you see when you observe, you can then take on a more formal role, maybe as an associate in training rep for that particular faculty. And there are also other committees as well. I think the local medical committee, British Medical Association, lots of different groups that I would encourage people to get involved in. And those may be avenues that you may hear about sort of adverts or jobs from. Other places to look at would be, it used to be Health Education England. The name and the phrase is changing, but essentially the people who run the training, so your GP training school. Sometimes faculties will send out emails saying, oh, there's this particular advert, so be alerted to it. Or just look at your local GP school's website. If there's any information on there, that may also give you an idea of what sort of adverts or things are coming up.
Great, some really helpful tips there about staying in the loop and keeping your ear to the ground, reading your emails. What we've been trying to do is end on some real positivity. So my last question is, could you share your best moment or highlight from your role as a training programme director so far?
My best role and highlight would probably be, as it's August and we've had finishers, one of my doctors in training sent me an email just to say thank you for helping me to get through. She'd had some challenges and she needed an extension for difficulties with exams, which we've all been there, and the Royal College exams are tough. So for me, getting that email is a real pinch me moment, I suppose, is knowing that in some way I played a small role in helping to support her to start that journey of being a newly qualified doctor, which is really good.
Great. And I'm sure others feel similar about their TPDs, and I'm sure lots will feel inspired from what you've said, that it is a really great role and something that it is a real opportunity to give back. So thank you very much for joining us today, Irene. That's been hugely insightful and inspirational, and I hope others feel the same. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. That was a great conversation.
We hope that this careers podcast has motivated and inspired you to explore the variety of career options available as a GP. Speak to your appraiser, your local training programme directors, or perhaps join our RCGP mentoring programme for further support to diversify your career. Thanks for listening, and good luck.